Today is the feast of St. Joseph. Now, most of us recognize St. Joseph as that figure that's in the manger. We take out all the little creche, the nativity scene figures, and we vary with caution. We kind of place them in the right position. And of course, usually it's Mary on one side, Joseph on the other, and there the baby Jesus in the middle. I would venture to say that if I were casting the part of Joseph for a movie, my kind of figure in my mind would be somebody like Gary Cooper. Somebody who is strong, that you could look at immediately and feel the strength of character, but pretty much silent. His words were in his actions. For others, St. Joseph is the patron saint of real estate. He's that figure that individuals kind of run around to try to grab a hold of and then bury upside down in their backyard so they could sell their house. This is a part of personal piety. But today, in the truest sense, we look at Joseph and we look at what he represents. And I would say one of the great figures in prefiguring of Joseph and the connection is in a Joseph of the Old Testament. Most of us realize that Joseph of the Old Testament, Andrew Lloyd Webber popularized him in Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. But it's that Joseph who was moved and motivated by a dream. It was that Joseph who was sold into captivity in Egypt. It was that Joseph who was moved by the Spirit to influence Pharaoh in order to save that precious wheat in the 7 years of feast, knowing that there would be 7 years of famine. It was that Joseph who then reached out and fed the people of Egypt, and actually in turn fed those brothers who rejected him. Blessed Pius IX declared Joseph patron of the universal church. This connection between the Joseph of the Old Testament and the Joseph, our Joseph of the New Testament, should be pretty obvious to some. It was a dream that influenced his life. But I tell you immediately, like all dreams, we must be disposed to the Holy Spirit working within us. It's not that suddenly a dream appears to him and he immediately acts on it as if he was following direction. But it's a dream that opens him up to understand how he was now going to be used as an instrument of the Holy Spirit. And it was his disposing himself to being that instrument that allowed us now to embrace his faithfulness in a very unique and special way. So like the Joseph of the Old Testament, the Joseph of the New Testament was influenced by a dream and opened himself up to that dream. The Joseph of the Old Testament was suddenly given the position of vizier. He was the individual who was overseeing, because of his gathering in of all of that wheat during the times of feast and saving it so that it could be distributed during the times of famine. This Joseph also is a Joseph who feeds. Many wonderful aspects of the New Testament are there, and sometimes We're bound by our languages, not totally understanding what symbolism is represented by the language that's used. This is the Joseph of Bethlehem that we celebrate. You know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. This Joseph, like the Joseph of the Old Testament, now would feed the world by being the protector and the vizier over his entrusted son. This would now be the body and blood of Christ, which would feed the world, which would reach out to the poor and the needy, which would proclaim God's presence and his love for all. And there, on the one side, was his entrusted father, his foster father, Joseph. Pharaoh makes a statement in the Old Testament about Joseph's position. The poor come to him, the hungry come to him. And what Pharaoh says is, go to Joseph, and he will feed you. Bernard of Clairvaux, Teresa of Avila, and many other saints understood that term, going to Joseph. And they have held up, and they continue through their writings to hold up Saint Joseph as the great intercessor for us. An intercessor that stands before the throne of his son. You know, it's interesting when you think in terms of that image. On the one side, when we think in terms of that creche, is the Blessed Mother. And what is she? Mary, the mother of the church. And what is Joseph? The patron of the universal church. And what is the church? But the body of Christ, with Christ as its head. They're still entrusted to the care. Our selves are entrusted to that care of Joseph and Mary. What a fitting day it is to celebrate the inauguration of a new pope. The feast of the universal church, Saint Joseph, and the image of Saint Joseph and everything he represents, now reflected on in the beginnings of the papacy of Pope Francis. Now, I don't know about you, but certainly in my sense, I don't know which was more extraordinary and unbelievable. That one was selected as Pope from Latin America, or the fact that it was a Jesuit that was selected. I know the Jesuits here present today kind of feel the same way. But it's the hand of God, it's that instrument of God. Maybe it's the response that Abraham gave, hoping against hope. But the Holy Spirit's movement of those 115 cardinals decided to use this man as an instrument to bring forth new hope in our lives and in the life of the church. You know, it's interesting that he chose Francis. Now, Francis, just to let you know, is not unknown to the Jesuit community. In fact, Francis Xavier is revered as really one of the great saints, almost on a par with Ignatius, for all his activity, evangelization. And one might think that that's what immediately he reached out for. But by his own words, he testifies to the fact that no, he chose Francis of Assisi. And in my childish mind, and oftentimes that's true, my childish mind, I envision Francis and Ignatius up in heaven with Francis poking Ignatius and going, "See? In the real sense, both Francis and Ignatius reflect something very significant that already has been embodied in the papacy of Pope Francis. That it's not about the honors or accolades of the throne of Peter, but everything points to the person of Christ in this one very unique statement. There's a convergence of Francis of Assisi and Ignatius. Everything points to Christ. And we can already see, and hopefully the energy around it will be maintained in the papacy of Francis, that aspect. I firmly believe that Benedict was sent by God to prepare us and form us. Here was the great teacher. Benedict was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. His writings will influence us for decades upon decades to come. One of the great themes that Benedict has was to look upon the face of Christ in all things. And he would hold that up all the time. The face of Christ. To see the face of Christ. To see the face of Christ in the poor. To see the face of Christ in the unborn. To see the face of Christ in the elderly. The face of Christ always before us. Always motivating and moving us. And now we are subjected, and we will continue to be subjected for a few days, to this Pope who's running around kissing babies, reaching out to those who are physically disabled and blessing them. And the world treats this as if this is something new. It's not. I was there in Rome when John Paul II kissed almost every baby along the roadway. I was there when he reached out and grabbed those who were handicapped and literally almost picked them up out of their seats. But what's new about this? What's new about this is this Pope is bringing his energy and attention to it. He is taking that face of Christ and he's putting energy behind that movement. And in that, the rest of us are pulled into the hope of the gospel message that's held out for all of us. The hope that's held out for all of us. This is a new movement and moment in the church. This is a new moment because it is our moment uniquely that can only be captured at this time in relationship to this man. And in his homily this morning at his inauguration, he already started talking about those aspects that he wants to embrace and wants us to embrace. Goodness. Not foreign to any of us, but maybe sometimes we forget that we can affect that in our own lives. Tenderness, an understanding to cherish those things which are given to us. Compassion, the heart of the gospel message. All in service to Christ. All found within an appreciation for the creation and the gifts of creation that have been given to us. His namesake, Francis, oftentimes immediately equated by many with a love for God's creation, And when I talk to young people who take Francis as a name in confirmation, I bring that up immediately with them. But then I ask them, what is the greatest of all God's creation? And they get it. Us. Manifest immediately in the greatest gift that has been given to us, the person of Jesus Christ in the world. The greatest gift. Francis so identified with that person that towards the end of his life, he bore the wounds of Christ, the stigmata. We may not necessarily be called to bear the wounds of Christ, but we are called to bear his love in the world, to reflect his face to our brothers and sisters, to take the lead from the energy given to the gospel by our new Pope, to reach out to children, the unborn, to reach out to the poor, to embrace the elderly. This is not new. This is the gospel, but now preached with one who has been selected by the Holy Spirit to be an instrument of his hope. We pray for our new Pope. We give thanks to those who formed him. And we ask God to help us to be drawn closer into the holiness that is demanded by all who love Christ and seek his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.